two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
This year, there's been a concerning number of near misses as airplanes came close to potential disasters on runways at various airports. Now, it's still safe to fly. Officials and airlines are saying that we have the right things in place. A summit, of course, has been called, but the U.S. Federal Aviation Administrator, the acting administrator, recently convened that safety summit to make sure they're staying on top and preventing potential catastrophes. And so we want to get beyond just the headlines of all of that. It's easy to get into the scare of it all. But I want to get down to the reality of it all and what the process is to make sure we maintain that safety and what we should be talking about and what those at the administration should be talking about as well. And so we're really pleased to have joining us on the program today, Mark Scribner, Senior Transportation Policy Analyst at the Reason Foundation. And Mark, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me, Boyd. Great to be with you.
So let's dive into this. First, just give us a little bit of the lay of the land in terms of what we have been seeing. Is this a significantly higher number? Where are we in terms of reality?
Yeah, so what prompted this, the FAA safety summit, was those three near-miss incidents that you were referring to. We had two in January, the first at JFK, New York, and the second at Honolulu, and then we had another one last month at Austin in Texas. And, you know, the investigations are ongoing into what the precise causes of those incidents were, but at least preliminary information seems to suggest pilot error in the first two and FAA controller error in the third one. So, you know, this has obviously raised the profile of aviation safety, and especially since right now Congress is considering a multi-year FAA reauthorization bill. So top of mind, and then coupled with that, and then, you know, really you got to set this against the backdrop of the pandemic, which caused all sorts of chaos, everywhere, but in particular, the aviation industry.
Yeah, no question about that. And so as you look at that, and I know you've got a study coming out on airline regulation and deregulation, which, again, is always an interesting part of the conversation in this in terms of where we are, where we've been, what those regulations should be, and how do those get implemented to ensure safety. And so as you've been going through and preparing that study, what are the key things that you've really been watching? What kind of trends are we seeing? And give us the lay of the land in terms of the regulatory scheme.
Well, you know, first, it's important to, you know, distinguish between economic regulation, which is the focus of my study. So that was on, you know, back when we still have the Civil Aeronautics Board regulating airfares and routes and entry by competing carriers. Basically, you had a government-controlled cartel up until 1978. That went away, and we've since seen a lot more competition, which has led to much lower prices today. Last year, average airfares, inflation-adjusted, were down 47% from 1978. And So that's on the economic side. On the safety side, we've actually gone in the opposite direction. Safety regulations have become more stringent over time, and we now have the safest aviation track record, at least measured by decades, ever. Some of us could remember when, airliner crashes were relatively frequent. We have not had a fatal airline crash in the United States since 2009. That is a tremendous improvement of safety over the 1970s, but certainly over the early era of aviation, which was plagued by all sorts of disasters. So we have a very, very safe aviation system, but I do think there are things the FAA in particular could improve in order to further enhance aviation safety, as well as the general customer experience.
Yeah, and so let's dive into those in terms of what that really should look like, both in terms of customer experience. We always hear of the horrible waiting in lines to get through security, or the unruly passenger. What else should we be watching, or what else have you been noticing as it relates to that experience?
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think one thing, and it's a lot of this is kind of it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of travelers, but really it's our air traffic control system, which is run on very obsolete technology. We have inconsistent funding from Congress because this is a government provided service out of the what's known as the air traffic organization within FAA. And the real problem is that we still have controllers passing paper flight strips in order to track planes on the ground and in the skies. We should digitize this. We should, as many countries have already done. I mean, right now, FAA isn't predicting it'll be able to deploy this modern technology until the early 2030s, while Canada completely deployed it back in the late aughts in 2009, I think they had full deployment. And so that's just one example of a technology that we're missing out on. And a lot of that has to do with the governance. Because we have the air traffic organization housed within a safety regulator, we have a conflict of interest there between providing a service that is then provided by the regulator itself. We don't have, the arm's length relationship that you should have between any service provider and the regulator. And what one effect of that is that we have a very, very cautious procurement system. And what that has led to is by the time FAA has identified a technology it wants to purchase, it is already obsolete by the time it deploys it. We've seen that time and time again, and that's why we're still using radar rather than space-based, it's called space-based ADS-B, to track aircraft in the skies. Similar technology issues at the airport level on runways, runway management. So, I think reforming the governance of air traffic control, either by spinning it off into an independent agency outside of FAA, or doing what Canada did, which was spin it off into a user-supported non-governmental nonprofit called NAV Canada back in the 90s. I think then we could see the better technology uptake, which would improve controller productivity and hopefully prevent the kind of incidents that we saw, at least in the case of Austin, Texas, where you had a controller You had one controller telling a plane to take off on that runway while another controller said, another plane land on that runway. If we had better systems in place, hopefully those things wouldn't be possible. And I think, you know, that's one thing I hope that Congress looks at, just modernizing technology, the boring kind of IT stuff. But it can really make a difference.
Yeah, that boring stuff usually produces the most results. It doesn't produce a lot of social media moments or opportunities for members of Congress to go on cable news networks, but it does get results, which we actually think is the right thing to do. Mark Scribner, Senior Transportation Policy Analyst at the Reason Foundation. Mark, we appreciate you jumping on with us on a Friday. Great insight into something we're all concerned about, especially as we move towards spring and summer and increased air traffic and travel for hopefully a lot of us. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me aboard.
All right. We will step aside for one last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go back to some of my conversation with the great George Will from yesterday as we close out the week here on Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.